Welcome to Win with Richardson & Richardson. What's important now? Success in business most often comes down to hard work, not by silver bullets and quick fixes. It's knowing where to focus that hard work that's key to winning. Join sales prospecting expert and three-time seven-figure business founder Carrie Richardson and managing partner of R&R Consulting and former owner of Doberman Technologies, Ian Richardson, for radical honesty regarding strategic planning, accountability, and execution that will get you the systematic results you're working toward. Let's get into today's episode. Thought leader and your host, Carrie Richardson.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Carrie Richardson, and I am the host of Win and a partner at Richardson & Richardson. With me today is David DeCamillis, somebody I have had the pleasure of knowing for almost my entire channel career. How are you doing today, David?
Awesome.
Thanks for being here. For those of you who don't know, David worked with Platte River, which was a managed service provider in Colorado.
Yeah, it was officially labeled as a merger 2 years ago. In fact,
right, two years ago this month,
and we merged / were acquired by Applied Tech. I was the VP of sales and marketing when we were taken over.
All right. So tell me a little bit about the transition that happens when you merge with another organization.
Merges are challenging, especially when it's two MSPs. You would think that because most MSPs do things very similar as far as what they're selling and what they're providing to their customers, managed IT, cybersecurity, et cetera, how you bundle it, the vendors you use, how you price it, how you deliver it. But actually, if you open the hood, every MSP is completely different. And that's probably why the merger didn't go as smooth as what we all expected it would. You have two different sets of staff who are used to doing things their way. And we tried to find the better of the two and merge the best of the best, including vendors and solution stack. But that was challenging too, because it's a big lift, it's a big change. So what we expected would take 6 to 12 months really took longer.
What steps could people in the same place? I'm an MSP. I'm considering a merger. What could I do to prepare in advance? What could both firms do to prepare to avoid some of the challenges that you experienced?
Pick the stack, pick the process, pick the way. You're better off just sticking with one or the other. And then maybe after you've taken it over and converted the other side of the house, then you can start looking at improving. Because the longer you wait, the harder it is to provide that service delivery, to sell to your leads the same way. And you run the risk of not closing as many deals and losing customers. The sooner you can just say, draw the line in the sand and fully convert the other side of the house, the better off you are.
Should that happen prior to LOI? Should there be an agreement prior to the finalization of the documentation about what stack we're going to use, whose sales process is going to be undertaken or optimized?
Yeah, if you have the time, it's going to be a benefit. If you don't, then you're going to want to determine that and start that process within 90 days. We waited almost a year. Some things are easy to convert HR, right? There are certain departments that it's a little bit easier. Marketing typically can be a little easier if you know what you're doing. But no, it's get it done as soon as you can.
Were there some very clear ownership of things that people just didn't want to let go of? I know you love marketing. Marketing is very important to you. Was it difficult to have to collaborate with somebody after being responsible for everything for most of your career?
No, even though I have been responsible for the brand and sales and marketing for almost my entire career, I had to meet with the owners, the partners, the decision makers, and show and convince them. So that was still the same. We did take too long to refresh the brand, bring in the agency to go through that whole process of figuring out who this new entity was and reflecting that in our brand and our marketing so that we could do a linear focus of lead gen. Yeah, that took a little longer now that I say it, the marketing side too. Yeah, I think that whoever is doing a merger or an acquisition, there should be that initial assessment of that takeover candidate. And that should be, like you mentioned, part of the process leading up to, so that you can actually start the process the day it happens.
Yeah, I wonder how much opportunity is lost in the quarters following the merger, where you spend so much time having to make decisions and go back and remake this.
Yeah. It's hard on the staff because you have using two different platforms, two different tools, providing service in two different ways. And the longer you continue that, the more disruptive it is. Because as you're merging those departments, those people are like, well, wait a second, we do it this way. And then the customers are confused too. It's a mess. And I know it hurt our revenue. I know I saw lead gen go down. I saw lead conversion, sales conversions go down. We had client retention issues also, because trying to move the clients to a new platform over a long period of time, they see the changes and the pain points for a longer period of time. And, you know, that unhappiness extends when it doesn't need to.
It's almost like you need to drop both teams into a room for a week and do a strategic
plan. This is the way we're going to do it, everybody.
Everybody's stuff gets considered and everybody votes on, yes, like we all agree together that this is what we're going to do. And then after that, you got to shut up for at least a year.
Yeah. Yeah. As long, I think you'll get more employee buy-in because there won't be uncertainty. There won't be confusion. I think you'll get quicker buy-in because they just want to know what to do and how to do it. It's the uncertainty that causes that hesitation and frustration within staff. I really think so.
Well, you had multiple locations as well. So not only do you have some challenges around communicating messaging between leadership, now you've got multiple offices to roll that uncertain message out to. So I could see how that would be challenging for all parties concerned.
Yep. We're in growth mode like most MSPs, and you're consistently hiring. So the sooner you bring in new blood on the same platform, the same way of doing business, the better. It helps. I think another suggestion I would make to every MSP, and they should do this today, but especially before an acquisition or merger, is document all your processes, every department. You need to go through and fully document and vet out every single process within the entire organization. Two things happen. A, things are broken, so it's easier to fix them. And two, when you do that merger, it's much easier if you know exactly what both sides are doing, so you can merge them in a cleaner way. And then,
of course, documentation definitely impacts
process documentation. Yes. Process documentation. It took us too long to document our department's processes. I know that delayed things. I know it did. And it made it confusing for staff.
I think that's very similar through most businesses.
If you don't know how to get to A from A to B, and if something happens, skip to C or D, your people are screwed. It makes sense. It falls to every department. Invoicing is huge. Communication with your customers is huge. Do you have account managers? Do you have VCIOs? How often are they meeting with the clients? Yeah, there's so many aspects of the business that are critical to the success. And I don't think a lot of people think about that. I think all they think about is, okay, what size of the book is it? How much monthly recurring revenue do we have, right? How many employees are there?
I work with businesses that are hoping to sell their businesses. Process documentation is one of the biggest challenges when it comes to getting to that closing table.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to buy a messy book.
And it's amazing how many MSPs think they have that well documented, but they probably haven't done it in years. And if you actually went through the process step by step, you'll see there's a step missing. There's a lot of steps missing.
Yeah, I noticed that myself. And honestly, paying someone else to do it, best decision I ever made. I paid someone else to run my business for a full year to get us from where we were to the closing table so that I didn't have to deal with any of the back and forth. So I hired someone to do that. I assume that they're acting in my best interest. In my case, it was my husband. So I was pretty sure he was acting in my best interest.
That's a great point, though, because if someone outside of the organization can understand the process, then someone within the organization will definitely understand it, right?
It was a good choice for both parties, and the transaction went very smooth, where there was no interruption of service, no client loss. Everything went very well. You know, and I got to leave day one.
Nice. I also feel like you're better off saying acquisition than merger, because when one company acquires the other, the assumption is the company that's acquiring is going to dictate, you know, what path you go, what process you go. And it makes it easier if the other entity knows they're being acquired, because a merger almost indicates that they're equal and they both have a say. And I think that caused some disruption and less buy-in, or not as quick buy-in from staff. It's like both cultures were competing with each other. Hey, it's our way. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think acquisitions definitely are easier, and or if it's really not a merger, call it an acquisition.
Side, we've moved on from Applied. Tell us what you're doing now.
So I joined TechMedics, another MSP. What a surprise. I've known one of the founders, James. His wife, Helen, are the founders of the company. 25 years as of this January. So congrats, hats off. I met James Moon at the first Ingram Micro event I went to, an SMB Alliance event in Denver. And oh God, that was like 15 years ago. And it was his first event also. And we became fast friends, and we've been friends, but also business colleagues. We've been sharing business ideas, reached out to each other for advice, checking out vendors, hiring tactics, sales and marketing, et cetera. When I made the decision to leave Applied Tech, he was one of the first people that I reached out to, and he jumped right away. Flew into Denver, met with my wife, Amy, and I, and he put an offer in front of me that I couldn't refuse.
Those are the best kind.
Oh, yeah. And I was talking to other MSPs and other vendors, but what I loved about TechMedics is it reminded me of when I joined Platte River Networks, but about 5 years in. Because when I joined Platte in 2008, the managed services, managed IT industry was really just starting. It was a kind of a break-fix T&M model back then. And hats off to Brent and Treve, the founders of Platte River, because they had actually created a managed service offering called Intuition. And think about this. This is 2008. But they hadn't launched it yet. So by bringing someone with the sales and marketing experience and brand experience that I had, I was given a perfect setup to basically brand that, launch it, rebrand the company. And we just exploded from there. So with TechMedics has 25 years MSP, great reputation, expertise, leadership, everything's there in place. What I'm doing is just taking their brand and enhancing it. I'm enhancing their digital marketing. I'm showing them how they can touch a bigger audience and how they can generate more leads and close more deals.
My understanding is that they've gone through some explosive growth in the last 5 years.
Yes and no. They did. They had some explosive growth, then they pulled back and focused on the core business, then had some more growth, like a lot of MSPs out there. You know how that first million is really hard, the second million, your 5 million, your 10 million, those are big challenges. You see all this growth, but you try to catch up, both on staff and on process and on tools and on leadership. We're really in a solid position to explode. And since I've already been through that with Platte River, I feel like we're in a really good position to grow in a smart way, so that we don't have such big swings in our revenue growth. It's more of a consistent growth, and we can manage it effectively.
Having a guide through that must be a godsend for Techmedics. You don't often have the opportunity to acquire the talent that you want at the time that you need it.
Yeah, I call it fate because James happened to be in Denver when I made the decision to leave Applied Tech, and it was a fluke, and he was already meeting with me, and he was going to plant the seed to see if I'd be interested in joining the firm without having any idea that I was planning on leaving. Serendipitous, fate, whatever you want to call it, the stars aligned, right? James and I were meant to be, and now we're already crushing it. So we have a wonderful marketing manager, Alex. She's been with Techmedics for 7 years. In fact, James introduced me to her right when he hired her, and she's done with limited resources growing the company. James has handled all the sales. So now that I have the sales experience, the brand and the marketing experience, I can help her succeed even more. And just since December, when we started applying some of the digital marketing and brand enhancements, in January, we already saw 6 qualified leads come in, where 4 were already presenting proposals to. And we were only averaging 1 to 2 a month prior to that. Our website traffic is up 1,200% in 30 days. Our LinkedIn presence is up over 1,000%. So it's already working. The sky's the limit.
I was, as you were looking at, but I think you just answered those. So you're measuring your LinkedIn engagement increase. You're measuring number of leads. What are the other important KPIs that you're looking at when you're trying to enhance someone's brand?
Website traffic is definitely, and not only the traffic, but where they're going on the website and what pages they're clicking on. We measure every post. I definitely upped the game on our LinkedIn post. Not only did I up the number of posts, but the content. It's got to be content that resonates with our audience. It has to be helpful. We're not selling. It has to educate. It has to be entertaining. It's not just about IT and tech. It's about business. It's about life. So we measure the number of impressions. We measure if they click on the link, because we obviously always direct every post, every blog to our website. That's key. And we want to see what our audience is clicking on and where they're going and how long, because that tells us what they're interested in and if what we're doing is actually working. Same with email. We are starting drip email campaigns on a regular basis. We want to see who opens and who clicks on what and how they behave. So our job is to try to touch as many of the prospects as possible, but also our customers, our partners, our community who can give us referrals, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to get the brand out there in a multi-touch, multi-platform approach and consistently provide them with good content that resonates.
So how far in advance do you begin planning for a content? I usually call them content rotations. Is it a month out? How much lead time do you give?
Typically, I like to have the calendar and the marketing plan for the year done by December 1st of the year prior. And then I actually create, and that calendar includes, it's not necessarily the actual post or the content, but it does include daily, weekly, monthly, whether it's a blog, a LinkedIn post, the monthly newsletter, an email campaign, an event. So I like to map all that out in December. Two reasons. Obviously, that's going to make it easier to create the content, plan, and execute on the campaigns. But secondly, that gives me a one-up on my competitors when I go to the vendors asking for marketing development funds to pay for all these activities. I'm sorry?
So I would love to pick your brain on that one. We had someone on a couple of weeks ago who mentioned that 80% of market development funds from vendors go unclaimed.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I'm doing a session just on MDF at Exchange in Orlando in March, and I know I'll have a full house because that was the first thing I started using when I joined Platte River, because we didn't have a big marketing budget. So I'm like, hey, I want to do all these great things, but I don't have the money. How am I going to pay for it? So I started going to the vendors right away. And if you show them a solid plan, a solid list, lead gen event, and how you're going to show them ROI, right? Good theme, make them look good, right? All of the above. They'll open their checkbooks. They'll pay. They'll pay for everything.
All right. I'm going to keep that in mind. And we'll have to come back to that for a future conversation. I know that there are a lot of MSPs in my network who would love to know how to even fill out that very comprehensive Cisco MDF application form.
Yeah, they're all different. And some are challenging to fill out, others are not. But if you get that, they usually are quick to make it easier for you. Because if they see the success, they want you to succeed, which means they succeed.
So in your experience, David, how long does it take from day one, we're going to start, we've put together a marketing plan, we're going to start executing. This is day one of execution on the plan. How long have you seen marketing plan execution to, hey, this produced ROI? What's the usual runtime for a day one campaign to?
Yeah, I don't mean to brag, but it's just because I've been doing it for so long and seen success. And I typically am doing things that other marketers are not doing. They tend to follow. I tend to lead. But just to be conservative, I would say you should start seeing, I guess it depends, right? Improving website traffic and impressions and likes and clicks, that's something you should see immediately, because most firms are not posting good content. They're not posting it consistently. You also want to use multiple resources within your organization. So I had our president, I had our CEO, and then myself, and then the tech medics, LinkedIn site. We're pushing content out more than one a week, right? I think we're doing an average of 5 to 6 posts, different posts each week. So that alone is a massive increase for what we were doing a month ago. So naturally, we're seeing an immediate bump in impressions, likes, comments, people following, right? Connections. When it comes to actual lead gen, I was able to make some changes in our digital marketing, our SEO, and on some of the B2B search sites to get our name higher up. And I was able to do that in a couple of weeks. Alex and I started mid-December, and I can directly point to MS Managed Services leads that we presented proposals to that came from two of those sites, and another two that came from the digital marketing, and another one that came from LinkedIn. So that's in 30 days.
Pretty less impressive. Than 30 days.
Yeah. And so the idea is to continue to improve the website, the content on the website, start to do the email campaigns, start to do events in person, webinars, do podcasts, right? Win awards, do press releases, get out in the community, get on boards, get in front of associations. All this is going to help continue to increase leads throughout the year.
All right. I think that you've given people a lot to think about for their own MSPs and what they can and should be measuring, and the things that are easy to improve versus the things that are going to take a little bit more time. But all of them worth considering and probably should be evaluated one by one and figure out if you're doing it well. And if you don't know, it's time to start measuring it. Thank you for joining us today, David. I would like to see if the prophecy unfolds as we expect.
I sure hope so. I expect it fully. Let's put it that way. Very optimistic.
It was a pleasure to talk to you, as it always is. And I wish you much success with your marketing endeavors at TechMedics. And I'll look forward to seeing you on the road again real soon.
Terry, thank you. Really appreciate you including me. It's an honor. And I know I'll see you. And I wish you nothing but success.
You've been listening to Win with Richardson and Richardson. What's important now? We're so glad you've joined us and know you're one step closer to winning big in your business too. We'd love to connect with you outside of the show. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to connect@rnr.consulting. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast so you'll easily know when new episodes are available. Until next time, you can win, and we're here to help.